As most of you or some of you know, my wife and I just returned from a trip to Colorado to see my in-laws, and we have been making preparation for this trip for some time. I guess about a year ago, we had just gotten back from Colorado, and I started putting as many miles or spending, putting as much on my credit card as I could. We have a Frontier MasterCard, and if I'm very careful, I can just about get one free ticket every year. And so up to a year ago, we started working on this. And then I guess once we got enough miles, probably about 2 or 3 months ago, I started looking for flights. And once we got, I think it's 25,000 miles now or points, got the tickets. And then a couple of weeks ago, we really got in earnest about making plans about getting to the Nashville airport to fly out, what time we had to leave here, and then renting a car once we got to Denver so we could drive up to Vail where her mom was, and making all these plans and what we're going to take and where the dog's going to stay at our faithful dog sitter Tracy's house. And a lot of planning to make the trip go smoothly, and boy, it was just a great trip. Everything was like clockwork. I mean, it was just great. Lord gave us great weather. This week in Vail, it's supposed to be snowing. Last week, it was like 65 degrees in the daytime and 35 at night. Just beautiful, beautiful. And the trip was just a great, great trip. Now, part of the reason for that, of course, is God's blessing, but also is because we made great preparation for the trip. Now, we're not all going to Colorado, but if the Lord tarries, if you're a believer, you're going to take a trip. And you're going to be taking a trip that's a lot easier than we took and much faster. You'll be raptured out if you're still alive and the Lord returns. But you know, even to make that trip successful, there needs to be preparation made for that trip. By the way, if you're not a believer, if you're not a child of God, if you've not been born again, you will not be making that trip. And that, of course, is the first primary preparation you make. But I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll just be honest with you. I've really bitten off more than I can chew, and I don't have the advantage a pastor has to say, okay, I'll cover 2 points today and 2 points next Wednesday. We're going to cover it all, so we may be here till 9:30, so just hang with me, and I'll move as quickly as I can. But as we look at 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter gives us, number one, the assurance that this trip is going to take place. Jesus is coming again. And then he goes on to give us five actions or activities that we need to be doing to prepare for that trip. So we'll try to see that, and I'll just try to move as fast as I can. I'll speak quickly, you listen quickly, and we'll make it through, all right? All right, 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at the first four verses. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And the first thing we see in these verses is the rejection of the second coming. Now, you notice a specific time here when people are going to reject his coming. In fact, all throughout history, men have rejected the second coming of Christ. But as we get closer and closer to his return, these last days, it will get worse and worse. Now, to be honest with you, I understand that from an unbeliever, but let me just ask you real quickly, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have thought today about the Lord's second coming. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have a lot, because I've been studying. And I've been thinking about this sermon for some time. But in my average day, I wonder how often we think Jesus could come back today. We believe it, kind of. But folks, I'm afraid all too often, even though theologically we're correct, in our daily lives we forget all about the fact that Christ could return anytime. Now, these scoffers are saying, the Lord is not going to come back, it's not going to happen, and they give us a reason for their rejection. there at the end of verse 3. They are walking after their own lust. You see, they are living according to the flesh. And boy, it's just amazing just to look around and see the way people live. I like to get to the airport real early just in case something bad happens. And so we were at Denver Airport quite a bit early. And there was a couple, bless their heart, they needed to get a room. I mean, they were sitting there in the airport, and I thought, holy smokes, what's wrong with you people? But that's how the world lives, see? And there's the homosexuality is rampant. People are living in adultery, wickedness, and drugs, and dishonesty, and wild living, and you name it, they're doing it. And folks, they want to live that way, and so they're going to say, you know what? Christ isn't coming back. You see, if Christ doesn't come back, there's no accountability. I can do anything I want to do. And so these people, these scoffers say, the Lord's not coming back, and we're going to just keep living the way we're going to live, and it's no big deal. By the way, I have news for them and for us. The Lord is coming back. There will be a day of accountability. There will be a day of judgment. There will be a day of destruction. And by the way, you don't have to believe it because I said it. You can believe it because God said it. But these scoffers, they're saying, he's not going to come back. It's not going to happen. It's no big deal. We can just live any way we want to. Now, notice in verse 4 how they justify it, the record of their rejection. And they say, look, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, in John 14:3, the Lord said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will do what? I will come again. In Acts 1:11, the angel said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. But hey, let me ask you a question. That was 2,000 years ago. Has he come back yet? I hope not. If he has, we're in trouble. No. And these guys, I mean, the apostles, they look for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back in their time. The early church did. The saints of all ages, but he hasn't come back. And so they say, you know what? All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Nothing is changing. Nothing's ever going to change. There won't be any return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you a nice word here. Here it is. Here's their teaching. Here's their belief. Uniformitarianism. Isn't that a great word? Now, all that is uniform, you know that word. All that means is, everything has been the way it is now, and it's not going to change. It's always going to be this way. That's their belief. By the way, there is a teaching that is being taught in our schools based on uniformitarianism. You know what it is? Evolution. Sure. What's the basis of evolution? Well, the reason we know this world is billions of years old because everything's always been this way, and everything's not going to change this way it is. And these people say, you know what? We can do anything we want to because the Lord hadn't come. It's been 2,000 years. Not going to change. We'll just go on living like we're going to live. Now, secondly, in verse 5 through 10, I want you to see the reality of the second coming. All right, these folks have rejected it. It's not going to happen. Everything's going to stay the same. And again, be careful, Christian, because we can fall into the very same thing, can't we? You know, today's Wednesday. Tomorrow's going to be Thursday, then Friday. You know, everything's the same. Nothing's changing. I've been here for 50 years. Everything's been the same. Well, wait a minute. Look at now as Peter responds to their argument with arguments of his own in verse 5. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. Now, what's that talking about? Creation. And the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. What's he talking about? The flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter says, wait a minute. Things are going to change. And he says, in fact, things have changed. He said, there was a day when the water was around the earth. It was the firmament, wasn't it? And the earth was covered with water. And the Lord had separated those two and created this firmament, had created this mass with water around it. And then he separated the mass, the land, from the water. And we have the earth that we have. That always wasn't so. That was God worked and God spoke and God moved and God changed things. And then he goes on and says, oh, by the way, what about the flood? I mean, the Lord moved and God looked down upon mankind. And according to Genesis 6:5, he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God said, I'm going to have to judge mankind. And everyone died except for Noah and his family. There is no such teaching as these folks say, oh, well, everything's been this way. It's always going to be this way. God's not going to do anything. Wrong. God did already do something. God stepped on the scene and created the world. Then God stepped on the scene and destroyed the world that was. And he says in verse 7, I've got news for you. There's going to come a day when God's going to step on the scene again. Now, he's not going to destroy the world this time by water, but he's going to do it with fire. And what a description, folks, as you read that he's keeping this world in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There is going to come a day, folks, when God is going to judge sin. God is going to judge the ungodly. You look at this world and wickedness is running rampant. And they just look like they're doing fine. Folks, this isn't the end. It's not the end. And there's going to be a day when God steps on the scene, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and this day of the Lord begins. This period of time when God begins to judge this old world. And folks, things are going to, I mean, it's going to cut loose. So these folks have said, look, God's not coming back. We're going to live our wicked lifestyle. It's always been this way. It's always going to be this way. And he says, no, wait a minute. First of all, you need to realize it hasn't always been this way. God has moved and God will move again. And then he moves in verse 8 and 9. Another reason that God hasn't come back. He said, look, God, he wants to look at the very character of God. Now notice verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, who created time? Well, God did. God, we think of time and, okay, 10 minutes and 8 o'clock, we're supposed to be out of here, you know, for a minute. I just want to remind you, if I go a little long, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. Time means nothing to God. I mean, things that we think could take 1,000 years, God can do it in a moment. Time is not an issue to God. The character of God, folks, is that time is not a problem. Time is crucial for us. Everybody's in such a rush. It's amazing. We were sitting in the airport, and we were up in this balcony thing, kind of away from the masses of humanity, and just looking down at people. There's some crazy people in this world. I tell you, they really are. But everybody's going this way and that way, and we're in such a hurry, and everything's got to be done. We're controlled by time, but God isn't. God isn't. What's 1,000 years to God? Nothing. Nothing. And then notice the character of God in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a great verse. I've got it highlighted in my Bible. What a great verse. See, these people were saying, you know, God promised he's going to come, but he's not going to come, and it's not going to happen. And Peter says, wait a minute. The Lord promised he would return. He hasn't come. These guys said, well, he probably because he doesn't keep his word. Does God keep his word? Yes. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? If God says it, is he going to do it? Sure. Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And of course, Titus 1:2 says, God which cannot lie. Well, then why hadn't he come back? What a great passage. Why has God not returned to this world and judged the wickedness that you see all around you? He is a holy, just God. He will judge. Why hasn't he done it? He's a long-suffering God. And you know, we say, well, I wish he'd wipe out those wicked people. Why is he being so long-suffering with them? Hey, let me ask you a question. Aren't you glad he's long-suffering with you? Boy, I'm sure glad he's long-suffering with me. And Peter is saying, look, the Lord has not returned because it is not his will that any should perish. And he's giving people time. Time to accept him, to come and to be saved and not be destroyed. So Peter says, look, you guys are wrong. God has moved in and changed things, and things are going to change again. But the reason he hasn't come is because he wants folks to be saved. What a merciful Savior. You know, when we were in high school, we studied the Greek gods of mythology. There was no mercy, was there? I mean, lightning bolts, you know, you'll disobey me. You know. Aren't you glad our God's not that way? God is a God who loves to pardon. It delights him to pardon our sin. What a Savior. What a wonderful Savior. And the reason he's holding back his coming is so that folks can be saved. And we'll touch on that again. By the way, when the Lord destroyed the world the first time, did we not see that same mercy? Could he not have said, you guys are wicked, I'm taking you out right now. The flood is coming tomorrow. Well, what did he do? 120 years. He sent old Moses out. Moses, how about Noah? One of those guys. If I hadn't said anything, you wouldn't have caught me, but you know. Out preaching 120 years, hey, repent, 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 judgment's coming. Now, they didn't listen, but God gave them a chance, didn't he? That's a God of mercy. Long-suffering God. Now, he said, look, I want you to see these arguments now. Things can change. They have changed. They will change. God is a God of mercy. But I want you to know that he will come. It is certain. Notice verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned. He said, look, I want you to know the day of the Lord's coming. Now, I think we probably tend to think of the day of the Lord as a day, but really it is a time of God's judgment. And really it starts at the rapture and will continue to the great white throne judgment and the end of that time of judgment. And that day is going to come. You say, when? I don't know, but it's coming. It's coming. He said, I want you to know the day of the Lord is coming. And when it occurs, boy, this is something, by the way, are you going to know it? I was talking to my father-in-law, and I think he said, did he say, who did he tell me? Hal Lindsey? Somebody has said it's going to happen next year. I wouldn't think. Who? I don't know. Who? Was it. Who? Oh, Jack Van Impe. Well, anyway, we don't know, do we? Thief in the night. I'd say if anybody been had their house broken into, nobody. Oh, did they call ahead, Butch? Just want to let you know I'm coming. They didn't. Thief in the night. When's the Lord coming? We don't know. He's a thief in the night. He's not going to announce it. It's just going to happen. And when it happens, folks, it's going to be catastrophic. I mean, the heavens will be changed with a loud noise. Now, I don't understand all this. I don't understand exactly how it's all going to happen. But even the elements, it said, are going to be dissolved. Matter is going to be dissolved with this fervent heat. Everything, by the way, that car that you're so proud of, my car that I like so much, when the Lord comes back, what's going to happen to it? It's gone. That house you like so much, all the things that we labor a whole life for, the Lord comes back and cleans this whole thing up, what's going to happen to him? I didn't say anything about golf clubs, Bob. You noticed that, didn't you? Got to have those in heaven. It's all going to be gone. It's all going to be gone. When the Lord returns, folks, it's all going to be destroyed. Now, what should your response to the second coming be? All right, these scoffers, these mockers, they said, he's not coming back. We can continue to live our wicked lifestyle. And by the way, Christian, I hope you're not there tonight. Oh, I'm sinning and I'm getting away with it. You're not getting away with it. It may appear that way, but judgment is coming. And Peter said, look, folks, you need to realize that things have changed and they will change again. And the only reason the Lord hasn't come back and destroyed this wicked world is because he's a long-suffering Savior. But I want you to know, someday he is coming back. The day of the Lord will come. Now, so what? I want to give you five things. Our response to the second coming. All right? The rest of the chapter. We're going to move. All right. Seeing then, verse 11, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? And then look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. He said, first of all, folks, seeing that all this stuff's going to be wiped out, how should you live? You ought to be holy in your lifestyle and you ought to be separate from sin and be godly. And then in verse 14, at peace with God, without spot and blameless. Look, knowing the Lord is coming back, knowing there is a day of judgment coming, knowing there is a judgment seat of Christ for the believer, how should we live today? Be holy. Be godly. Be unstained. Be without spot. Be blameless. You know, it's amazing to think that all the things we hold on to so dearly that bring us such great pleasure in this world will all be destroyed. It's going to be gone. I guess 2 weeks ago, I was talking in my Sunday school class after Mrs. Gillenwater passed away. And at her funeral, they talked about how she was such a godly woman, and she was. I mean, she just loved the Lord, and she was going to testify whether the preacher wanted to or not. I mean, she just wanted to stand and tell something about the Lord. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have those things be said truthfully at my funeral? I've never got up at a funeral and said, well, I just want you to know about this lady. She had a beautiful home. You ever heard that at a funeral? I haven't. She drove a very nice car. She had the most beautiful lawn of anybody in the neighborhood. Isn't that amazing? All the things that this lady had, so much money in her savings account. I mean, she helped that. At death, those things are not important. And I've got news, folks. When the Lord comes back, those things won't be important then either. Now, I know we need to take care of the things we have. And I'm not saying that because we don't know when the Lord is going to come back. And we do need to pay our bills and so forth. But folks, simple matter of fact is, when this day of the Lord occurs, it's all going to be destroyed with fire. It's going to be gone. And therefore, we need to have lives that are separate from sin, and on the flip side, godly lives. And then in verse 14, to be found of him in peace. And by the way, let me just stop for a moment. The only way you can have peace with God, folks, is through salvation. If you are here tonight and you're not a child of God, you don't have peace with God. In fact, you're an enmity. You're an enemy of God because of your sin. That's why Jesus came. He came to shed his blood, folks, to wash away your sin. He took the wrath that you deserved, and he took it on himself, and he paid for our sin. And by faith, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you are justified, and you have, Romans 5:1, peace with God. Maybe we ought to just stop and shout a little bit right there. What a wonderful salvation. Aren't you glad that our salvation is not, now you come to church, and you'll come to church, you know, and not miss a Sunday. And if you'll give at least 20% of your income, and we're going to check up on you. And if you do this and you go help do this, that you can, maybe if you work hard enough, you can get to heaven. By the way, that kind of salvation, does that give peace? When have you done enough? You know, when have you made it? You're always striving. What a wonderful thing to just be able to rest in the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just rest in what Christ did on Calvary. It's not my laboring or my working. It's just trusting in Jesus. And when that happens, you have peace with God. But unfortunately, you have that relationship. You're always a son. But our fellowship can be scarred, can't it? It can be broken by sin. Let me ask you a question. If you knew that at 9 o'clock tonight, the Lord was coming back, are there some CDs or DVDs you want to run home and get rid of real quickly? If you knew he was coming back Friday at noon, are there some things that are so important to you that would not be important at all? I'm sure that's true of all of us. He said, look, folks, purification. You need to purify yourself, knowing the Lord is coming back. Purification, number one. Secondly, let's move quickly. Verse 11 through 13. I skipped this part of those. Let's read them again. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what man or person ought to be in holy conversation and godliness? And there's a word repeated here several times in the next couple of verses. Look for it. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Did you notice that word? What should we be doing? Looking. There's anticipation. Purification, but anticipation. Looking, expectantly looking for the Lord Jesus Christ's return. Now, I'll just be real honest with you. That convicts my soul. I look forward to a lot of things. I used to look forward to UT football. Now I more dread it. You know? Looking forward. What do you look forward to in life? When was the last time you thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if the Lord came back today? Now, some of you have lost loved ones, and boy, that's probably in your mind all the time. What, boy, the Lord came back today, I get to see my loved one again. But for most of us, it doesn't cross our mind. We are so busy expecting this and excited about this thing and excited about this thing and excited about this thing that we have no anticipation or excitement or expectancy about the Lord's coming. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the attitude we should have, folks. The Lord is returning. We need to live with purification, but we need to live, folks, with anticipation. Now, when we were getting ready to go to Colorado, even though I was going to my in-laws, I really looked forward to it. No, I love my in-laws. We had a great time. We were looking forward to going. When you're going to go on vacation, don't you look forward to it? Sure, and you make all these plans. It's going to be great. We're going to go. Oh, it's good. And here, now look what's going to happen. The Lord is going to return from the eastern sky. The trumpet's going to sound. And the Lord's going to come back. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the Lord, in the clouds to be forever with the Lord. There will be no more sin. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more Satan, hallelujah. There will be no more separation, no more suffering, no more sorrow. And we think, well, the Lord may come back. Wow. Folks, what anticipation we ought to have. I mean, it's going to be a great day. I don't know if you paid attention. One nice thing about preaching and leading music is you get to pick your own songs. But that second one, though you didn't know it very well, that's a great song. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, how long? Here we shout the glad song. Hallelujah, Christ returneth. Hallelujah, amen. That's the spirit we're to have, folks. Living in anticipation of the Lord's return. And then move on to verse 15. Verse 15. Not only purification, anticipation, but in verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. The third thing, folks, is evangelization. We already covered this a little bit early on. Why is the Lord not coming? He's long suffering. He's wanting people to be saved. It's not his will that any should perish. He said, look, we need to be busy reaching people for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. And I'd like you to raise your hand to this. How many of you know someone, family member, co-worker, neighbor, who is lost? As far as you know, they're lost, and if the Lord comes back, they're going to go to hell. I know. Okay, bow your hand. Now, let me ask you a question. If, in our scenario, we said the Lord comes back Friday at noon, wife are lost. We've witnessed them many times. They've come to special times of preaching and taught us, so they're lost. If the Lord comes back Friday at noon, they will die and go to hell. They'll be lost forever. Now what are we doing? What are you doing? Are you praying for them? Are you begging God to save them? Now, I mean, I've talked to these folks. I've wept with John especially. there's nothing else I can do but pray and ask God to change their heart. Folks, if you really believe the Lord is coming back, now we don't know when it's going to be, but he could come back at any time, don't you think that ought to motivate us to be busy reaching the lost?
Well, I'm too busy. I've got to go down to the ball game. I'm sorry.
It's amazing to me how we have time for everything but reaching the lost. Say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, be embarrassed. We'd rather be embarrassed than stand before the Lord someday and say, well, I didn't do anything. Hallelujah, folks. If we really believe the Lord's going to come back, we'd be busy evangelizing. Two more, verse 16 and 17. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned, the word is ignorant, and unstable, unbalanced people, rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We need to have discrimination. As it gets closer and closer to the time of the Lord, folks, there will be more and more false teaching and heresy. I mean, look, when the pastor of the largest church in America gets on the radio in an interview and will not say that Christ is the only way to heaven, we've got problems. Okay? And there are doctrines and teachings springing up all over the area. This health and wealth thing, you know, if you get saved, you'll be wealthy and have great health. Well, a lot of people send money to those people. They're getting wealthy, but nobody else is. Even the idea of, we've talked about evangelization, the idea of, hey, just let's all bond together, the fact that we get people saved and we believe in Jesus. There's more to it than that, folks. Calvinism is coming on strong in independent Baptist churches. There are all kinds of things going on. There's teaching that we just love each other and hallelujah, it's just great. And it doesn't matter what kind of music you listen to, what kind you use in the church. Folks, that's not Bible. Music is not immoral. There is good music, there is bad music. That's a whole other sermon. But all these things, all these teachings, folks, and if you're not careful, you're going to get caught up in them. And these people that wrest the scriptures, they teach doctrinal error, and if you're not careful, he says, you've got to be careful. Got to be careful. You don't get caught up in that way and be led in that way. You need to have discrimination. And let me give you the last one in verse 18, we'll be done. But grow in grace. In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Now you have to forgive me for this word. Here it is, maturation. Isn't that a great word? You know the word mature. What should you be doing as a believer? Knowing that the Lord is going to come back, what ought you be doing? You ought to be growing. But grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you grow? Well, you know how you grow physically, by eating and exercising. How do you grow spiritually? By getting the word every day. By praying. By serving. Be growing. Be growing. Hey, this will give you a right view of God, by the way, which will help you to so you don't fall when all the other junk comes around. Now, I just want you to know and remind you, Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. Are you prepared for his coming? Are you ready for his coming? Obviously, as I've stated several times, that starts with salvation, being a believer, trusting in Christ to get you to heaven. I wonder if the Lord came back in 4 minutes from now. Who would go? Would you go? Are you certain? Or would you be left behind? You say, well, he's not coming. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you he isn't. I'm not going to tell you he is. I know he could. You say, you know, I've got that resolved. All right, let me ask you. How about these five activities, these five things that should be in your life? Purification. Knowing the Lord should come back, could come back at any time, ought to make us live pure lives. We ought to live in anticipation, looking for the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. We ought to live and being evangelistic. Are you telling others about Christ? discrimination. Be careful what you listen to. Don't fall. And then this growth. Are you growing in the Lord? By the way, you can't stay the same. You're either growing or you're getting weaker spiritually. One of the two. You can't stay the same. Are you growing? If God has spoken to your heart tonight, I know it's 8 o'clock and I'm going to have a very short invitation. Number one, if you're not a child of God, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you are a child of God, has God convicted your heart in a specific area? Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening, so keep your heart in tune. Is your heart in tune with God? Or have you allowed some things to creep in? They need to deal with that. I'm going to have the ladies come. Again, very short invitation. I know we're running a little long. But maybe God has spoken tonight. You're not a child of God. Now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to be saved. Come and let someone take a Bible and show you how you can know for certain when the Lord comes back. If it's in your lifetime, you're going up. And if you're a believer, you've allowed some of these things to creep in your life, but God has spoken your heart, I would encourage you to come and spend some time talking to the Lord on the altar and get these things right. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. We're going to keep our heads bowed and the ladies are going to play. And if God has spoken to you, come. We won't take long. One verse and we'll be done. Lord, help us, I pray. God, in my own life, drive these truths home to my heart. Oh, God, help us to live with a realization that you can come back at any time. Lord, now bless this short invitation, we pray. While your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, the ladies are playing, all to Jesus I surrender. If God has spoken to your heart, you come. Very quickly, deal with it. Been exciting to see our attendance growing on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Appreciate you folks being here tonight. May the Lord challenge our hearts with these thoughts. And let's keep this in our minds all this week. May God help us to remember Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. And this needs to control our thinking. And by the way, it ought to, for those who have lost loved ones, boy, it ought to rejoice your heart. This thing's temporary, folks. Jesus is coming again. And let's serve him, be faithful, be praying for Pastor. I think he'll be traveling back Saturday. I'll be preaching all this week there in Illinois. And he'll be here to afflict you again Sunday morning and preach to you. And praise the Lord for our pastor. Aren't you excited about God, how God is using him and how he's impacting this really is young, young man in our lives? The camera's off now, isn't it? I can see all these things. You can't watch on the internet now. But the Lord bless you. Bus captains, you have bus meeting. You may go. And as soon as they're gone, All the rest of you folks may dismiss. We'll see you Sunday morning. Lord bless you.